A confession. I had given serious thought to not offering any words of reflection this morning, just listening to these accounts of the Nativity from Gospel would hopefully inspire us. But we are a church that is part of a tradition which believes in the exposition of Scripture. And one of my roles here is to be your teacher. And so, that gives me the opportunity to do something that none of you expect on Christmas Day. And that is to spring upon you a pop quiz. Which version of the Nativity is correct? Is it A, Luke with his shepherds and angels? Is it B, Matthew with his magi and star? Is it C, John with his mystical vision of the origins of the cosmos? Is it D, Mark, who has nothing to say on the matter? Or is it that refuge that can sometimes throw us for a loop when we take a standardized exam? E, all of the above. Well, Carolyn's nodding her head. What do you think it is, Carolyn?
I think that it is E.
Carolyn says it is E. Do we have any other bold souls who are willing to venture a guess? Chip agrees. We have two E's here. Any other takers?
E.
E. E. Barbara and Brian. We're seeing a pattern here. Barb goes with E, too. You know, when I was a kid going to school, I had one English teacher who had a bit of a mean streak. And I remember we had a pop quiz involving multiple choice, and one of my classmates said, E. And she said, E? E for egghead. You're wrong. I'm not going to do that to you, though, because you are indeed correct. The answer is all of the above. Matthew, Luke, and John, and even Mark with his omission, are offering different perspectives, different ways of witnessing to the truth of what happens when God came to us as the Christ child. They are all offering a testimony to how God in his love chose to be one of us and to walk with us and to live with us and ultimately to die as one of us. Luke offers his perspective that lifts up the marginalized, the people living on the fringes, and Matthew shows us God's expansive welcome, drawing in those who are not like us. And John just gets all mystical, but also reminds us that Jesus, who was indeed one of us, fully human, was also fully divine and the source of love and life. And Mark? Well, Mark thought the birth narratives really didn't matter. That wasn't important because Mark, in his gospel, focuses on the passion. And that indeed is where the story we tell today leads. Christmas has no meaning without Easter. Because the gift of the child in the manger leads to the gift of new life on the cross. And as commentators have been observing for centuries, indeed, right from the early years of the church, God came into the world and was swaddled in cloth. And after God was crucified on the cross, he was again wrapped in cloth. What a story. I think we need more than all of the above. And we have added to the options, have we not? Through the carols we sing this morning, through some of the Christmas specials we might watch. If you have a chance, watch A Charlie Brown Christmas again. Listen to Linus as he reads the accounts from Luke. Look at manger scenes, whether in the church or out in people's yards. Go over to an art museum. I was going to say you should go to the Hood, but all you'll see now is a construction site. But if you have a chance, go down to Boston, go to the MFA, and you will see beautiful depictions of the birth story. Go online, and you can see depictions of the story from cultures in Africa and Asia, using different forms and visions and perspectives. But all of these different stories ultimately offer witness to the same central truth. God's love is present. It is here. Not just 2,000 years ago, but on this morning, this Christmas day in 2016.